Today on Real Radio.
When the Bible says, and we believe this because we're Christians, that all those who come unto him, he will in no wise cast out. He means exactly what he says exactly what he means. When Jesus says that broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction, and most people are on that path, but narrow and few is the way that leads to eternal life, that's exactly what he means, and we want to make sure we're on it. And how do we make sure?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues his topical series now called What Christians Believe. And within this collection of studies, our current series within a series is called About the Bible. Pastor Jack's spending a little extra time and a little extra effort and focus on this subject of Scripture itself because it is indeed our Creator's special revelation to us. Now, is God's Word just one among many so-called sacred texts? And just how do those other writings compare to the Bible? And why is it that the Bible alone is under such constant scrutiny and criticism, whereas the other books are either largely ignored or largely revered? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing in his presentation called About the Bible.
And I have to listen. And we all have our ways of combating that. Sometimes we'll read out loud. Sometimes I'll say to Lisa, read this to me. Just read it out loud to me. I'm more of an auditory learner. Maybe you're a young person and you've grown up under your parents' faith. You know, you had no problems when you were 5 years old. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Remember when your parents, when you were like 3 years old, praise the Lord, Johnny. Oh, yeah, yeah. Johnny, he doesn't know what he's doing. Praise the Lord. We have a friend whose dog can praise the Lord. It's true. You say praise the Lord, and the dog stands up and lifts its hands. I'm not kidding. We'll get in a circle at home and pray, and our dog will get in the middle. And she'll roll over on her back and put all four legs straight up. Hallelujah, you know. So, no, that's not what's going on. Well, I don't know. You haven't met my dog. Pretty born-again dog, if you ask me. But anyway, the thing is, it's an expression of the will, you know, and we want to worship him. We want to know him. But you may be young. And you lifted your hands, or you read your Bible. Now you're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. And you're wondering, what in the world is going on, and what do I believe? I want you to know right now, that is absolutely normal. Parents, back off, get on your knees, and pray for them. They already know what to do. If you've raised them in a Christian home, you've given them all the tools. It's time now, mom and dad, to close the mouth, get on your knees, and pray them through this very critical time, because here's the deal. Many parents will say, well, my child accepted the Lord when they were 5, and now they're 21, not walking with God. All those years they lived under your faith. They were under your umbrella. Now they've come into the realm of their own faith. It's time for them now to trust God, because now they have become accountable to God. And those of you who are parents of teenagers, you have this thing called teen rebellion. And you think, you know, what are they doing? Listen, number one thing to remember about teen rebellion is that teen rebellion is that phase where they are making a way out from your authority. That has to happen. Dad, back off. It must happen. Encourage your child, encourage your son and daughter to find authority in God. That's normal for a child to begin as a teenager to start questioning mom and dad's authority. That's normal. It's not altogether evil. Steer them to God's authority, because they are now coming to that place to where they must know Jesus personally. They've got to make that decision. If they don't, of course, it's hell. But they accepted the Lord when they were 5. You know what? More than them accepting the Lord when they were 5, and they may or may not have. When they come into that time of accountability, where their own will now says, I will not go to church, I will not worship God, I will not open my Bible, I will do my own thing, I want to live my own life, Mom and dad, fall to your knees and pray, because that's a critical area. Are they born again but backsliding, or are they lost because they were never saved? You can twiddle your thumbs until they fall off. That's not the answer. Get on your knees and intercede for your kids. Why? Because the Bible is the only thing that is applicable for their lives. Everything else is secondary at best. God says, I want to sanctify you completely. The Bible says, I'm dead to sin. You know, Christians, listen, Paul says in the book of Romans, we're dead to sin. What is he talking about? It means that, first of all, before we came to Christ, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were spiritually dead. Our spirit was dead, in a coma at best. Our body and our soul ran our lives. Did you know that? The soul is your mind. It's your emotions. The body is what it is. And before you're born again, this is how you live your life. Okay, you listening? Before you're born again, this is how you live. You wake up. Your eyes begin to open up. Oh, what am I going to do today? What do I want to do today? What do I want to do today? Let me see how much money I can spend on me. Let me see, how much time can I spend with me? What am I going to get? How can I use that person to make me happy? Ooh, that feels good. Do that some more. You see, the body and its cravings and its pleasures communicate to the soul. The soul says, hey, that's great. In fact, let's sit down and plan out some big sins next Friday night. Let's find out where the parties are. Let's go for it. Come on, and let's do what makes that body feel good, okay? And the body turns and says, yeah, that sounds good to me. And the soul says, man, I'm glad you're happy. Let's do it. And they go out and they just do their thing. The soul and the body and an unregenerate person, that's how you live. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's this way. Power, possessions. And the soul says, man, this is what I equate to be important in life. And the body says, yeah, lay it on me. Dress me up in it and drive me in it. The soul and the body will war. Then you hear the gospel, and an amazing thing happens. The Holy Spirit agrees with the power of the Bible. Of course, it's from Him. He drives the reality of it true to your heart, and you begin to battle. You begin to war. And you begin to think things like this. Man, you know what? I don't know what's going on, but I've been going to church these last couple weeks, and I'm really struggling. What's the matter? Well, I went out with some friends, or I did this, and I don't feel right about it anymore. Man, as a pastor, I love to hear that. You know what's happening? The Lord is working on your life. You're getting hooked by God. You can't even sin right anymore. Your friends are going, man, what's wrong with you? Come on! And you're going, okay, all right. And you know it's wrong. And then you come back to church. You don't even know why you're coming. Man, I'll go. And you listen. And you begin to sense, I mean, seriously, literally. You begin to feel something. It's kind of like right here. And kind of like right here. In between right there and there. And it's like it's cooking. And you start getting a little anxious. You never quite felt that way before. You kind of feel like you're in trouble, but you kind of feel like there's hope. You don't want to come to church, but you come. You begin to see things differently in the world. You think you're going crazy. But what keeps you sane is that things are starting to make some sense. And then you open up the Bible on your own. And you read a couple of verses, and things begin to make some sense. What's happening? Your spirit is beginning to be awakened by the wind, as it were, of the Holy Spirit. He's blowing like He once did upon the seas in Genesis 1 to bring life. He's blowing again across your heart, and Jesus Himself said the Holy Spirit is like the wind. You can't tell where He's coming from, and you can't tell where He's going. And He begins to blow on your heart. And it's what's amazing is that as time goes on, you even disagree with the pastor or people around you about something, but you keep coming back. Because now you're starting to get hooked into the sense that, you know what, I don't care. Nothing's going to deter me from this now. I'm going to go. I'm going to go to church. In fact, I'm going to go buy a Bible. I'm not turning into a Jesus freak. I'm going to go buy a Bible. You know, I'm not going to put any stickers on my car. I'm not even going to buy a t-shirt. I'm just going to get a Bible. I'll keep it near my nightstand, and I'll read it once in a while. God is hooking you. The Holy Spirit is pursuing you. The ancient Puritans used to call the Holy Spirit the hound of heaven because he's relentless. The psalmist says, where shall I flee from your spirit? If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost parts of this earth or the sea, behold, you're there. And he won't leave you alone. Because God's will is to get you complete, body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, born again. Now watch. The soul, your mind, brought under the control of the Bible. Listen, you're born again in an instant. You're given a new heart, says the Bible. Unfortunately, we still keep the same what? Mind. Yeah. That's why the Bible says, through the word of God, let your mind be what? Renewed. Wouldn't it be nice if we just got a new mind? We're going to get a new mind, I think, the moment we're redeemed out of this place. It'll be great. Now, what happens when you're born again? The Spirit is made alive. The Bible uses the word quicken. Ladies, how many of you ever had a baby? Raise your hand. No, seriously. Some of you go like this. What, were you not sure if you had one or not? Okay, right before the baby was delivered, there's what OBGYNs, they use the term quickening. She's entered that position or to that location or to that moment of quickening. That means the child, all the indications are there, all the bells and whistles, so to speak, are going off. It is inevitable now. The mother's body has gone into the quickening stage or mode. That baby's coming. And there's no stopping them. When that happens, in the physical realm, a child is born very, very soon. The same word the Holy Spirit used in the authorship of the scriptures concerning a person being born again. The Bible says that he has quickened us by his Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? We've been born anew. And then, now that we're born anew, here's what happens. And many, if not all of us, can agree with this. We get up that next morning, went to church on Sunday, got saved. Wake up Monday morning, and the body says, oh man, I just want to stay here today. And what are we going to do about me? And the soul says, yeah, what are we going to do? What can we plan on? What kind of pleasures can we heap upon ourselves? The spirit, the part of you that's born again, it's brand new, says, wait a minute. Whoa, time out. I'm new. I mean, hello, it's me. I know you haven't heard from me ever. But you know what? This is what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to what? We're going to pray. The body says, no, we're not. We're staying in bed. The soul says, well, maybe we should pray. The spirit says, that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And the body says, I'm not going anywhere. And you begin to war with yourself. That's what Romans 7 is all about. Paul says, that thing I want to do, what of that part wanted to do right? His spirit. Paul says, that thing I want to do for God, I don't do. And I find within me a war between my flesh, that's the soul and the body, ganging up on the spirit. And he says there's a war that takes place. Those of you who are Christians, you understand exactly what the Bible means and says in this area because of the war that takes place constantly in your head. Your flesh says, hey, let's do something nasty, bad, and ugly. And the spirit says, sit down and shut up. You are not in control here. And the flesh will argue. That's why we need to die. Did you know that? That's why we need to either get raptured or, thank God, truly, truly listen. Thank God that there's the death process for the Christian because we got to leave this carcass behind. It's got to get redeemed in the resurrection or in the rapture. It's got to be changed. Because it is sold into corruption. You see? So I know you guys look so pious and we all look so sweet, but you know what the truth of the matter is? We're at war with ourselves. And that's why when we bow our head, I know none of you can relate to this, but when we bow our head and we say, Lord, I just want to hear from you and I want to give my life to you today. And Lord, I need to change the oil in my car. Have you ever done that? Lord, I want to give you everything. All that I have belongs to you. And I really need to get a pair of pants. They're on sale right now. You ever had that happen? That's the war. Or maybe you stand on the edge spiritually. You're saying, listen, this is the way that it is. Are you witness to some Jehovah Witnesses in the morning? And the moment you're done doing that, you go in there and you open your Bible, and then there's this arrow that comes from some demonic corner of somewhere, shoots right in the head and says, how do you know what you just said is true? You ever have that happen? Isn't it cool? It's so cool now to say, you know what? I have been persuaded by the word of God that neither death nor life nor principality or power nor any other created thing shall separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. And to stand on the Bible and the enemy flees. The Bible says to flee. Resist the enemy and flee. And you do that by using God's applicable word for life. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That means do it. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded is this, yielding to that flesh. Oh, let's go this way, let's go this way. Oh, wait, I should follow the Spirit. And then, you go 1 week this way and 1 week the other way. You go, 2 weeks to church and take a month off. What are you doing? You're double-minded. You're unstable, James says, in all your ways. The decisions you make never come to pass, or they're so messed up it leads to destruction. You're unstable. You're double-minded. You're filled with more timidity and doubt than you are with faith and boldness. It all comes down to trusting God. James says, don't let that man think he's going to get anything from the Lord. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How does that happen? Because of the applicable word of God. Philippians 4:6. Write this one down. Everyone write this down. If your neighbor doesn't write it down, just write it right on their arm. It's right. Just write it right on them. As soon as I give it, you're going to say, no, what was that verse? Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious for anything. But in everything. Gee, I wonder what everything means. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's your attitude. Let your request be made known to God. In other words, tell him about it. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will garrison, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You have any worries? When you have a worry, you may not have any now, but when you have a worry, apply Philippians 4:6. Memorize it. Quote it to yourself, church. Listen, memorize it. I would love to be able to say to all of you, if you could hear this and receive it, why don't you this week memorize Philippians 4:6? It will change your life. Just mark it, know it. God's applicable word is health to us. It's health to us. It is a known fact that when we study the Bible, when we worship as God's people together, it is a known fact. In fact, you can go online to read these things that people who are involved in worship and in faith-based relationships, that's how they put it, faith-based relationships, have a lower incidence of cancer, of heart attack, and high blood pressure. That's interesting. There is something divinely powerful about God's word that when we worship him in spirit and in truth, it literally affects our body. Now I'll close with this. We used to do human studies at UCLA and at the Long Beach Veterans Hospital. And it was quite amazing. Because in some of the products that we were developing in the critical care setting, we would have these patients and they were brought into rooms that the company I worked for had leased from the hospital. The rooms were completely redone, the hospital rooms. What I mean by that is they did not look like a hospital room. They were made just like a living room of a house. They're beautiful. And they were decked out in a way. And there was a nice TV there. You would have this patient lay down, recline, and you would hook up to him various sensors and devices, diagnostic equipment to monitor his arterial saturation of his blood and venous saturation of his heart rate and brain wave activity. And so the guy would come in, and like any one of us who go to the doctor at first, we all have this. Our heart rate goes up, our blood pressure goes up. We don't like doctors. And so we put on the music and we put on the screen and the river's flowing and the waves are lapping. And we got this guy plugged in. And then another room where we're sitting are all the bells and whistles and displays. His heart rate's up there. His oxygen saturation's not all that good. But as he begins to get into what's being displayed, and in this case, the initial case, it's everything that's calm. His heart rate begins to slow down. Beats per minute slow down. His tidal volume of his lung capacity begins to expand, and he's breathing deeper, taking more O2 in. His saturation of O2 to his blood begins to expand, gets greater. That is, the O2 cells that are binding to the red blood cell gets bigger. His body's working better. He doesn't even know it. And we're watching all this. And from this room, we could draw little portions of blood from him and put it through what's called a blood gas analyzer. And we could determine how this guy's feeling and doing with great detail. And then we change the screen. And you go to things like the news or something violent or an auto race on the screen. Blood pressure rising, heart rate rising, lung capacity shrinks. Hyperventilation begins to take place. Amazing. Why? All based upon what he's hearing and seeing. My friend, when we begin to hear the word of God with listening, okay? Hear what the Spirit says to the church. That's a wonderful thing, but it's only halfway there. If we then take what we're hearing and step out into the world and do it, the feedback, in that case, biofeedback, in our case, spiritual feedback, changes our lives physically, emotionally, spiritually. It is a fact, a scientific fact. So what do Christians think about the Bible? Christians think this about the Bible. It is God's holy and perfect revealed word to mankind. It does not contain the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. It is authoritative. It is the roadmap to our lives. By it, we understand that God loves us and we have no need to fret or fear. When the Bible says, and we believe this because we're Christians, that all those who come unto him, he will in no wise cast out, he means exactly what he says exactly what he means. When Jesus says that broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction and most people are on that path, but narrow and few is the way that leads to eternal life, that's exactly what he means. And we want to make sure we're on it. And how do we make sure? By every day going to the word of God. Every day leaning upon his revealed will. And so by doing, we will enjoy this life until he comes for us in power and in truth.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study simply called About the Bible. It's an in-depth look at how God's written word is proven time and time again to be accurate and to be trustworthy. About the Bible. It's part of Pastor Jack's initial look at this topical series called What Christians Believe, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember, you can always go online to realradioactive.org and listen to today's edition of Real Radio as many times as you'd like. You can also hear past programs. You can even subscribe to our podcasts of Real Radio if you'd like. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.